It's time for Twig This Week in Google. Jeff Jarvis, Stacey Higginbotham, they're here. We're going to talk about Yahoo. The sale is final. Were people mean to Marissa Mayer just because she was a woman? We'll also talk about the latest tools from Google with the Nexus phones and mapping and a little Pokemon Go and some IoT. It's going to be a great show. Stay tuned. This Week in Google is next.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for This Week in Google is provided by CacheFly. CacheFly.com. This is Twig, This Week in Google, episode 363, recorded Wednesday, July 27th, 2016. Use fifth grade words, please. This Week in Google is brought to you by the Ring Video Doorbell. With Ring, you can see and talk to anyone at your door from anywhere in the world using your smartphone. It's like caller ID for your house. Go to ring.com/twig and get $50 off one of their Ring of Security kits, the bundle kit or the pro bundle kit with this limited time offer. And by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage brings the mortgage process into the 21st century with a fast, easy, and completely online process. Check out Rocket Mortgage today at quickenloans.com/twig. It's time for Twig This Week in Google, the show where we cover the latest news, not just from Google, but really everywhere from all around the world, everything having to do with the cloud, the Internet of Things. Actually, we're really glad Stacey Higginbotham has joined the team because she is an expert on IoT. She hosts the IoT podcast at IoTpodcast.com and is a former writer at Fortune and GigaOhm and the Bond Journal. What is it?
The Bond Buyer.
The Bond Buyer.
You're bringing that up.
Hey, Stacey, great to see you. We did not post nor allow anyone to make a ringtone out of your expostulations last week.
I
felt bad, actually, in hindsight. I thought, oh, probably this... I didn't mean to hurt your feelings or anything.
You didn't hurt my feelings. I was just like, oh, man.
It's going to haunt you.
This is the thing that comes up for the rest of my life. I'm going to be like, dang.
No, so it's not. It's dead. I was asked many times for a copy, and I have declined.
I will still get excited about things on the air, you guys. I promise. Right.
Oh, thank you. That was the only thing I was worried about.
Oh no, it's unallayed enthusiasm. So
that's coming. That's what I like about you. You're enthusiastic in the face of these couple old guys who are seen it all and are bored by everything.
Yeah, that's for sure.
We'll rename your show here, Leo. Watch out.
Yeah. What are those two old guys in the Muppet Show?
All right.
Oh, those are my
favorite.
Bernie
Sanders and
Jeff Jarvis is also here, professor of journalism at the City University of New York, blogger at BuzzMachine.com, the author of many a great book, including Geeks Bearing Gifts and Public Parts and What Would Google Do? Hello, Jeff.
Hey.
So, I don't know what to start with.
You got Russian hackers, you got Apple earnings, you got just all kinds of news.
It's
today.
Hard to know where to begin. Twitter did well, but not in the stock market. They didn't have much growth, only 3 million new users, about 1% growth over the last quarter. That's not making the stock market happy. They made money, but they scared the stock market by saying it's harder to sell ads than we thought it would be.
Yeah. Did you see their commercial?
You want to see it? It's helping people understand Twitter, right? Because nobody...
I was a mixed thought about it. I don't know if it is really the thing people experience in Twitter. Did you see it, Stacey?
I didn't. I don't have television.
Okay, oh, sorry. You are...
No, it's not on TV.
What's happening? Wait a minute. That's not it. It's
that's it, isn't it?
Well, I gotta scroll down. This happens every time I play.
Oh, I see. Oh, no, that's the animated GIF.
This is a flaw in the Next website. I can't. You had the same problem, Karsten.
Oh yeah, you can't scroll down.
It's because they have this lame anime. You can't either. Somebody ought to tell them the Next Web.
That's really very inconvenient for Leo's show.
It's inconvenient for everybody. You're trying to watch.
There must be some ad. There's like two or three sites where that happens to me.
Boy, the web is really broken. Now I'm going to be in favor of AMP.
AMP, yep.
They should really use AMP.
The web is broken.
Anyway, so the idea is Twitter is where it happens, right?
This is what's happening in the world. You know what's happening in the world.
That's right.
Is that why? Yeah.
Here we go. What's happening? And then they're showing tweets in many languages.
What's happening in the world?
Of course, this is the Olympics. And
what's everyone talking about?
Trump and Clinton. Game of Thrones.
What's trending?
Hamilton.
Means they had to get a special.
How did it start?
Black Lives Matter. Well, this is true, right?
Yeah.
Didn't Del Rey McKesson say that Black Lives Matter started at Twitter? Started with Twitter?
Is this going to drive people to Twitter?
Love, not hate.
See what's happening in the world.
Well, you know, it ties into, too, right of course. Now. They're now doing Major League Baseball, NBA basketball, NFL football.
So, you know what I'm thinking? I think Twitter is the new Yahoo.
Oh. That's a curse. Maybe Marissa could go over there.
I think we're going to see stories, you know, what is Twitter? Just like we saw stories about what is Yahoo. I love Twitter in a lot of ways. I don't in other ways, but
well, Twitter is really interesting, and I think in many ways it mirrors the internet. It is simultaneously the best and the worst.
Yeah, yes, yeah.
And it's hard to monetize as an open ecosystem.
It mirrors the internet. I rest my case.
Yeah. I think that commercial, like Twitter it's great for journalism. It's great for if you really legitimately want to know what's happening, but I don't think that many people in the world, like a huge swath of the population, they're looking to the internet still for entertainment. And how do you monetize news? No one knows. I mean,
you're right, Stacey. A lot of people, what they do on Twitter is they look for stars. That didn't really do that.
Show me Taylor Swift's latest beef with Katy Perry, and then I'd be like, hot damn.
They're not going to show you that.
But that's like Instagram and even Snapchat. Look at what Kim Kardashian did.
Well, but this is where Twitter is at a disadvantage, because unlike Snapchat and Instagram, it's many, many things. So there's Black Twitter, right? They mentioned Black Lives Matter, but they don't talk about the cultural phenomenon that is Black Twitter. Which is much more than Black Lives Matter.
It's the thing that Mark Zuckerberg, he said, I think he said it to me years ago, no two people on earth see the same Facebook. Because you see your community, your language, and they kind of make the point with the languages, but it's your own world. And you can make it what you want to be, but that means you got to work at it.
Well, first of all, you can't make an ad, especially a 30-second ad, that's going to show all the things that Twitter is. I think ad has one single purpose, which is to say, Twitter is, and I think this is absolutely one of its greatest values, the place to go to see what the culture is doing right now, what's happening right now.
Or a slice of the culture, let's be honest.
Well, many slices. The problem is you don't see all the slices, right? But if you look at...
Has Facebook ever done an ad?
Oh, yeah. Remember the chair? Facebook is a chair.
That's right. That's right.
I mean, if you want a bad ad...
That's true.
Or an inscrutable ad, that's it. At least this... You can't say this is wrong. This is just a part of what Twitter is. But it's one of the best parts. You know, there's actually a whole bunch of people upset at Twitter because of the DNC leaks / DNC leak hashtag. I'm gonna put this in air quotes, scandal. A number of people tweeted me and said DNC leaks was trending, and Twitter pushed it off the trends.
I've heard this one so often. People say, surely this is trending. Surely this is trending. And we haven't heard that in a while. But again, trending does not mean most popular. Trending is a mysterious formula.
Isn't it? And it's specific to, is it specific to the people you follow and you? I've always wondered that.
Well, it depends. You have, there's settings.
Market. Yeah.
Okay.
So you can have global, you can have US, you can have it. It used to be able to have local. I don't know if you still
No, it's not personal.
But it's not personal. Okay. It's geographic.
Which would be interesting. What's trending among your friends?
So the evidence that people use, and by the way, the chat room is convinced that Twitter pulled it down. How did it go from the top of worldwide trends to nowhere like that? Does that happen ever with other trends?
Yeah, I mean, I remember this kerfuffle.
By the way, it was replaced by a DNC leak. And some say, well, that was to reduce it. They split it or something.
I don't know. This is
similar to the argument that Facebook is currying the feed to promote an agenda, and the latest one that broke this morning is that Google has, when if you Google presidential candidates, that they fixed it. You can't do it anymore. But if you this morning, if you Googled presidential candidates, you would only get 3 out of the 5. You wouldn't get Trump, and you wouldn't get Gary Johnson, the Libertarian.
That's because those elections were already done, so they were still in primary mode until the convention was over. The way that the algorithm works, so it was wrong, but there was a reason behind it, and they fixed it.
Well, the original one had Trump. If you did the search for presidential candidates, Trump, Clinton, Sanders, Johnson, and Stein, who are all the major party and a couple of smaller party candidates. And then this morning, it was just the three, Clinton, Sanders, and Stein. Actually, Sanders
By the way, why is Trump first?
Why is Trump first?
Not by party, not by last name.
Well, because we have two Democrats. I don't know. This is a landmine. This is a minefield for any of these companies. And I would guess that Twitter, Facebook, and Google would bend over backwards to try to make it nonpartisan, but it's very hard, and algorithms being algorithms are unruly.
You know, I just wondered, too, so that if you looked at most popular pictures of Donald Trump, it would probably be his huge face in that with that you know, odd Orwellian huge face behind him. How do they end up choosing the pictures for things like that?
Yeah, you always see that, too. You know, magazines do that, right? We've seen that in the past. Remember the Sarah Palin cover, was it on Time or Newsweek, that was very unflattering? And
these are flattering, right? So what I'm saying is, if you just went to the most popular pictures through search, I'll bet they
wouldn't
be
flattering.
Those pictures.
Yeah.
Maybe
those
they
pictures.
Go through the campaign. Maybe the campaign websites is where they get it from, because that's a slight, like, maybe. That's a trusted source.
What is a flattering picture of Donald Trump? I'm sorry.
He thinks he's handsome.
He loves, any picture of him is probably good for him.
Yeah, he does. But I'm just saying that because he is has a very expressive face and is. And almost all the pictures of him are grimacing or shouting, or he's very expressive. It all comes out in his face. So you don't have any kind of posed, unless there's a big eagle, posed pictures of him. None of the magazine pictures make it because they're copyright, maybe, or I don't know. I'm not an apologist. I think that it's tempting to see a trend where none exists. That's the human brain is designed to do that. And you'd be crazy if you're Facebook, Twitter, or Google, and under all this scrutiny, to ever attempt something like that. Or would you?
No.
I think you'd be crazy.
I mean, what's happening? I wouldn't even trust an algorithm at this point to do a lot of this stuff. I mean, because...
Would you trust a human?
Well, yes. It depends on the human. But yeah, you'd have to have some really... You know how journalists used to be objective? And we used to not vote and all of these things. Jeff's going to be like, you'd have to have someone who kind of subscribes to that set of beliefs. And
But I agree with you, Stacey. I think that there has to be, I've argued to Facebook, I would argue to all these companies, and this sounds so professionally egotistical that they need a journalist there. But my point is they need someone who makes decisions based on principles to serve the public, almost a public editor. The editor there shouldn't edit, shouldn't select things,
who's
shouldn't
public?
Try to organize it, but when there is a choice, somebody sits back and says, what's the best thing for the public here? As opposed to, at the same table, somebody's going to say, what's the best thing for our brand? Which they should. They'll be there. Somebody else has to say, no, you misserve the public. That's a bad thing. And they need that discussion, which I don't think they're having. I mean, there's three stories in this rundown about Facebook taking things down. One about the leak email issues, which I don't even really understand the story. One about news footage from child torture, and one about a diverse lingerie model. Nothing revealing, but for some reason they took it down. And I want to know, what is their sense of principles behind this? Why are they taking down what? And is it to serve the public, or is it to just dodge as many controversies as they can? Which I understand, but now that they're in a role of distributing news and informing people, you know, if you take down pictures of transgender models, you're saying something about transgender models, and you've got to face up to that.
Which is, that's the question, is who's your public when you're an international social media that has a billion people with many viewpoints?
Bingo.
And I don't know. I wouldn't want to be them. I wouldn't want to have, no. But maybe they need like a public, maybe they need Margaret Sullivan. Leave the Washington Post. Well,
they do. That's what they needed. Yeah. An ombudsman, a public editor.
So. But it's also someone who actually consult, as opposed to a Margaret Sullivan or now Liz Spade, her replacement, who from a distance criticizes the New York Times. Instead, what they need is somebody inside who explains the principles of journalism and the business of journalism to Facebook, and in turn explains Facebook to the news industry, which they need.
I don't know if that's... Do you think that's going to make Facebook money? Do you think that's... I mean...
Well, that's what people accuse both Facebook and Google of. They say that their agenda is not... is only what makes them the most money.
You can say that of any company, including a newspaper.
Well, it's always true.
Always true.
But I think...
But no, I think, Stacey, I would argue that in the long run, if people start to depend upon them for information, then being more credible and trustworthy and predictable about that information is a good thing for the brand and ultimately the business.
So I feel like generationally, we no longer trust our... I think the era of trusting in a news source is probably gone. Does that make sense? So like, you don't even look at your websites or, sorry, your actual newspapers free of bias anymore. You just have to suss out what they are. I don't know.
Right. So that's the transparency. So I think we're saying the same thing in the long run. I don't think that Facebook or anybody has to say that we are the new objective. They're transparent. And they, just as Facebook a few weeks ago put forward its principles behind the news feed and said this is how we decide what goes in the news feed, in a very general terms, but it was a good start. Similarly, and they do have standards. They do say no naked breasts, period, except for breastfeeding, except for post-surgery. So they've, you know, they put that out there and they know, okay, these are what the rules are. Well, they've got to do a good job of being transparent about those principles and their enforcement of them.
It's tough. Once you become an arbiter, it's so tough. And you're always going to make, you're going to piss somebody off because whatever guidelines you use are going to, it's going to be upsetting to somebody. So that's why, you know, really, Twitter, I'm sure, would like to be completely not participant in any of this and just say, they censor the least, wouldn't you say? I mean, naked breasts, no problem on Twitter.
That was the discussion last week about Nero.
Yeah. It was why it was such a shock that they banned Nero. Mm-hmm. Because I can't remember them banning anybody before. How about this one? Google, getting a lot of criticism. This is an article in The New Yorker for deleting a literary blog.
Yeah, we got criticism last week for not bringing this up, but the story had just happened, and it just seemed to me that we just didn't know enough. But now I agree, it's definitely a story because I don't hear any good reason. I mean, Google also believes in the portability of your data. Why, if for some reason they didn't want it there? A, again, transparency. Why not? And then B, let the guy export all this stuff.
So Dennis Cooper is a writer. He has a blog. It's a Google blog called The Weaklings. It's got a lot of fiction on it. Some of it is. Challenging. There's sadism. There's self-destruction. There's homosexuality. It warns you before you go in, as all blogs do, if there's adult content in there. And he's been writing there for a long time. And in fact, it's been his, and this is why it's significant, his chief form of publishing for a lot of this stuff. Now, of course, Cooper should have kept backups of everything. Yeah. Nevertheless,
but I don't have backups when I put on Medium. I haven't backed up,
Jeff.
I didn't back up what I did years ago.
Can you make a backup of your content, Jeff,
on Medium?
You don't. How many times do I have to tell you? You don't own it if it's on some other site.
I know. I got to.
This is Kevin Marks would spank you right now.
Yes,
Kevin Marks would be up in. This is like everything Kevin Marks stands for.
I agree.
Right?
But Kevin might just simply say, "Well, but yeah, we've been saying that. Of course, if you're posting on Facebook or Twitter or Google or anywhere, you it's not your site. Now, a blog is a little different.
Yeah,
and that's why it's interesting.
Back up my blog. Yes.
Yeah, because this was his blog. Now, admittedly, it's run by Google and it's a free service from Google. But you always think, even if your blog is hosted by somebody else, it's my content, my blog. Google not only deleted the blog and its contents, but killed his Gmail account. So they actually deleted the account. So he has no way of going to Google Takeout and getting the content back.
That's the issue. And Google's lack of transparency. The press, I mean, New Yorker's writing about this, and they can't get an answer out of Google. This is a failed Google. There may be some reason, but be transparent about your process and allow someone to export. Those are principles that you've espoused before and you're failing on.
And a blog is a little different because people assume that's my blog. Yes. You know, my blog's on Squarespace. Now, admittedly, it used to be on SoftLayer. It's on somebody else's computer. So
are you backing that up?
Of course.
Okay.
I'm not.
Because you have everything set up now for.
I have everything backed up now. API. I always have had everything backed up. Yeah. Still, you think that's my blog. That's different than putting a post on Facebook, which you know could be taken down. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Google doesn't have much of an answer. They speculate that it was because he violated terms of service, but Google doesn't even know. And she talked to Dennis Cooper, and he doesn't want to say it's censorship. He thinks it probably was due to violation of terms of service, but he was not told. And he doesn't know why they deleted his Google account, because that's not part of it. This does
seem like... There needs to be some kind of... I mean, due process is a legal term, not a service-oriented term. But you want to know that if you go over the line, you've got some chance to rectify or leave or whatever.
Well, and also
some form of justice.
Google hasn't... According to this, Google hasn't really talked to him officially. Right. I mean, and his that's lawyer. He hired a lawyer.
So here's what the New Yorker got. Regarding your inquiry, this is from Google's press team, we're aware of this matter and not able to comment on specific user accounts. Thanks. So the reporter, Krasinski, also emailed the same Google employee who tried to help Cooper because, and she advised she'd been advised by Google to refer all press requests to the press department.
Can you speculate on any legal world where they would be forced to do this?
No.
Maybe if Cooper was going to sue them, like once Cooper got a lawyer, maybe Google was like, oh, shoot.
Well, now they're going to. Yeah. Maybe now they
had to clam up. I don't know. I mean, yeah, this whole thing. If it was a mistake, it's a mistake that's gone too far. And now they're scrambling.
Yeah. It's kind of reminds all of these are of a piece. You know, all of these stories are of a piece. These companies are huge. And they wield kind of a lot of power. The other side of that, flip side of that Twitter ad is you're also now the journal of record. So with great power comes great responsibility. And I don't blame them because we're in a new world. And nobody's ever had 1.5 billion customers before. You know, it's just it's a new world. And I understand why this is difficult. Let's take a break. Jeff Jarvis is here from CUNY, where he teaches professionalism. What's professionalism? He teaches journalism, professional journalism, or I call it pro-journalism. And then what's happening with .NYC?
I've been doing kind of a rethink of it. And just today I sat down with Annie, our producer, and we're going to try some different forms over the next 3 weeks. So we're going to experiment with some different forms and figure out what
people,
it is.
How can people find out when you're going to do a show?
We're going to do it on Wednesday noonish.
Oh, good.
And follow my Twitter feed and I'll promote it. And then we'll have a .NYC show Twitter handle and a .NYC show Facebook.
DOTNYC on Twitter?
Show.
DOTNYC.
I think so.
At Jeff Jarvis. And noon Eastern on Wednesday. Good. And you do it on YouTube Live and Facebook Live or just Facebook?
We're going to try Facebook Live for a while and see what that works out. We're just at this point, we are experimenting. We're going to try two or three different forms because I think, as we discussed, we haven't found our niche yet.
It's hard.
We got to work on that first. It's much harder than I thought, yes.
I have just been extremely lucky.
No, you're talented.
When we launched this show, we picked the right people and the right time to do it, and it just did very well out of the box. You know, though, Jeff, that we've canceled more shows than we do. It's kind of normal. You try stuff. No one has the formula. So you just try stuff. Stacey Higginbotham is also here. She is what were you assembling earlier? Some sort of Bluetooth.
This is a Silicon Labs Thunderboard React, which is a tiny little Bluetooth thing that's got an accelerometer, some LEDs, and I'm going to stick it on a... what's this? It's a model car kit.
Oh, fun.
So This is what my daughter and I are going to do this afternoon after the show.
Oh, man, you are the best mom.
Oh.
This is better than the boxcar derby.
Yeah. So.
Do you do any IoT stuff with your Tesla?
Not really. I've tried out the Eve stuff that we talked last week.
Yeah.
Talked about last week. But other than that, it's not very easy. The Tesla, it's not easy to connect to things, and I don't really want to hack my car.
Yeah, and I don't think they encourage it.
No, Elon gets pretty testy about that.
Yeah. You can't even get twit.tv on the browser.
No, I mean that's
not
okay.
A real browser. It's okay. You shouldn't be browsing. Shouldn't be browsing while you're driving.
True that.
Hey, let me tell you, this autopilot thing has really hurt Tesla owners. You know, we're trying to get, we have car insurance for it. Mm-hmm. But they initially, the deductible was $3,000. They've raised it to $6,000. And then our agent today said, you're not going to use autopilot, are you? And we said, yeah. And she said, oh, that's going to be a problem. They see that not as a positive, which I think it is. It makes you a better driver, a safer driver. It saves you. It saves lives. They see it as a negative.
Well, because the first trials, the first cases will be legal hell for whatever insurance company gets them.
Yeah, but I think you could strongly make the case that driver assist is.
I agree with you, but you know how that's going to get challenged in court. And if you're the first insurance company that goes down in this case,
I don't know
the
what
expense
do.
You have.
Have you priced it out in other places? The other thing is, we noticed when we told our insurance company that we were getting a Tesla, he calculated it as a P85, so the performance version, and I just have the normal 85.
Yeah.
And that actually dropped my cost.
Of course, because you don't have insane mode.
I don't have insane mode.
But I think this is new, is what I'm saying. I think because of that big story and the number of stories about autopilot failures,
yes,
all of a sudden, this is becoming an issue. And I think it's an issue.
You had a $3,000 deductible? Was that
now
what you
chose? $6,000. No, you don't have a choice. It's now $6,000. And I don't know what they're going to come back to us, but I don't know if they're going to refuse us insurance because we say we're going to use autopilot.
Autopilot is the pit bull of auto insurance.
It's going to be, I mean, I think Tesla's going to have a problem if people can't get insurance because of this.
Who's your
I don't
person?
Know.
Call around.
We do it. Well, so it's a corporate lease. The company owns the car. And so it's the company that we've been using for all of our company insurance all this time. And we use an agent, so they'll shop it, I'm sure, if they can't get. But I think it was the agent who said, oh, we're going to have a problem here. And you can't lie and say, no, I'm not going to use autopilot because
if you do,
Elon knows.
And you have all the liability then.
Santa knows. Yeah, right. I never lie to insurance companies because that's a great way for them to deny you coverage after the fact when you need it most.
Right.
Oh.
Unbelievable. Wow. We live in interesting times.
Yeah, I think it was Volvo and maybe the chat room saying Audi also did this, but they claimed that they would keep the liability or pay for liability in self-driving car accidents.
I suspect that's what Tesla will have to do.
Oh. Does that fit with Elon's big plan?
Sure. He wants to. It's vertical integration of everything. The leasing is through Tesla.
So
actually, which was also the case for Volkswagen, Audi. They have their own finance. And GM does too, GMAC.
I would bet that Tesla drivers as a group they're older. They're richer.
You don't want to crash a $100,000 car.
Jeff. Exactly. So I'll bet they're actually a decent risk.
You're older and richer. No, you're younger and richer.
Yep. I also bought mine used, so I'm not even.
When you said you graduated from college in 2000, I went,
oh, wow. Oh. All right. Well, you just brought down the demos of the Tesla driver, Stacey.
Jeff and I are going single-handedly. 2000. I think that's when I bought this shirt.
Yeah.
I'm not going to comment on the shirt.
You don't like my gecko shirt?
I like geckos.
Okay, that's close. That's a start. I'll take that. Our show today. Hey, speaking of Internet of Things, our show today is brought to you by my internet-connected doorbell. You might say, why connect a doorbell to the internet? Oh, I'll tell you why. Because this doorbell has a camera and a microphone and a speaker. And when I installed the Ring Video doorbell, man, it changed the way I think about. It's not a, it's a, I don't, you know, I literally, if I didn't have this now, I would feel like I'm in the dark. I now know when anybody comes and goes, because it doesn't have to just ring the doorbell, just the motion sensor. So somebody comes up my steps, I know it. I have video of it. And I get a notice on my phone. When somebody rings the doorbell, I can talk to them. Actually, even when they come up the steps, I can talk to them. I can say, is that package for me? Leave it right there. Our Russell, our IT guy, was saying he uses his because he gets deliveries every day. And he just tells the delivery guy the passcode. You know, you can see they're in a uniform. He can see the truck, so he knows it's real. He tells them the passcode, just open the door and leave it in there. The Ring video doorbell is awesome. Not just making your house safer, but just giving you it's the quantified front door, giving you the information that is so valuable. Now we've got these great bundles. I want you to take a look at the Ring of Security Bundle Kit or Pro Bundle Kit, because we can get you $50 off. It includes a Ring video doorbell, either the regular, which is what I have. That one has a year battery, and the new one is a little slimmer because it doesn't have the battery, so it has to be for a wired doorbell. It's also got 1080p video. You also get an additional camera. They call it the stick-up cam. You could, because you can put it anywhere. It's wireless. It's and it even comes with a solar panel, so you don't even have to have power for it. You just connect the solar panel, connect the camera, put it where the Ring don't shine. So you have the Ring in the front, the stick-up cam in the back. Now you keep an eye on your whole property. And by the way, the stick-up cam, just like the Ring video doorbell, lets you not only see but also hear and speak to visitors. So that's awesome. They'll even throw in one of these chimes. That is really handy because it plugs in any power outlet. It's like another chime for your doorbell in your house. So if you don't hear your chimes, if you're in like the potting shed or, you know, out back, you can put that chime anywhere there's a plug, and now your doorbell ring there as well. It is just great. Now, we're going to get you $50 off the kit right now. If you go to ring.com/twig, T-W-I-G, whether you get the bundle or the pro bundle, $50 off at ring.com/twig. Join the hundreds of thousands who protect their home with Ring. Many of you, I know, viewers and listeners of our shows, we love the Ring video doorbell. Give it a try.
Have you tried the stick-up cam?
Yeah.
Have you tried the stick-up cam?
No.
I have one coming, so I'm eager to see how that's going to...
I should get one. I wanted two or three, actually, because I would like the sides and the back. Mm-hmm. It's so easy.
The doorbell in 360.
I do.
And some cool AI software to stitch it all together.
Oh, panorama of your house.
Ooh. All around your house.
Ooh. Peace. Will peace reign in Europe with Google? They got a good decision in France, right? France said Bing and Google are not liable. They do not have to pull down search results that return BitTorrent links. That's the first good news out of Europe in a long time.
They've had a long time, yeah.
You wrote a piece.
I got invited to write a piece on the European Commission Vice President Günther Oettinger, who is in charge of the digital one market stuff that they're doing. And so they asked me to write a kind of op-ed on his blog. So
wow.
I did.
Wow.
Just arguing, because they know I'm a different viewpoint, but I've just simply said it's time to move past war footing to business footing. I think Europe is hurting itself by this constant war. And
what's the response been?
None. Some Europeans on Twitter said linked to it, but some Europeans on Twitter also said, Google fanboy is what he always said.
Boy, I think you're so right, though. I mean...
I think it makes sense. You know, I'm dealing with, I think there's a chance to build an ideal relationship, to negotiate, to be diplomats. And I'm dealing with Latin American publishers who, I don't know if I ever told the story on Twig. One came to me some time ago and said, we're not happy with Google and Facebook. We're thinking about doing a war like we did in Germany. And I said, it's been done. Why don't you try to develop a model relationship and have a mutual benefit? And Google, at least Google so far, responded well, and there's the start of good talks. So Europe could find itself in a case where the tech companies just kind of write them off, not in business terms, but in terms of ever trying to go to them to do new things and collaborative things. Now, Google, meanwhile, is very hopeful about their digital news initiative and their development fund. They're not happy when I call it a blackmail fund. Good things are happening. I think they can, but if the EU keeps spreading the Leistungsschutzrecht, across all of Europe, which they're now basically threatening to do, and constant antitrust and the right to be forgotten and all this stuff, I think Europe is hurting itself. So that's the point I made. That was it.
We didn't mention Facebook stock results. Good. Earnings. Whoa. Excellent. Wall Street loves them. The stock is soaring. These results came out today, right? Is that right?
Right before show. Mm-hmm.
Right before the show. So I haven't had a chance to review them.
And I think there are now a billion mobile users now?
Jeez.
That's the number.
I think they were at that already.
Yeah, they were. There was something I saw.
This graph is fascinating. Average revenue per user. Worldwide, they make $3.82. That's per quarter on a user. But, of course, that's worldwide in the U.S. and Canada. $14 a user.
Oof. Oh, my gosh. And 1.7 billion users? That's
well, no.
Insane.
Yeah, but it, yeah.
Sorry. I'm just looking at like
multiply 3.82 times 1.7, and then you get a number. Yes, they're doing okay. 1.7 billion active users. They're pretty much, I don't know if there's more growth available at this point.
Oh, yeah. Why do you think they're doing drones?
Yeah, that's why they're trying to bring internet to more places.
Yeah, but I mean, okay. But right now, how many internet users are there?
Okay, let's not even just look at. Okay, are there 9 billion people yet in the world? Where are we?
Somewhere like that. But I think there's 3 billion
total internet. Yeah, 3 billion internet users. I think they want that to be 6 billion by 2020.
And it's so obvious why, because they're going to hit the ceiling.
Well, but then from those people, you should be able to continue growth. I mean, they'll keep buying new platforms that provide a lot of activity and growth, like, you know, Instagram and. What's up?
6.44 billion in revenue. 97 cents per share profit.
23 billion in cash.
Oh, that's nothing compared to Apple. You know, it's so funny because
let's not compare it to Apple.
But you know, it used to be that you know you have a couple of billion in cash, you're doing pretty good. But Apple set this new benchmark, and now 23 billion. Oh shoot! But that's a lot of money.
It is. It's several data centers.
Importantly, it's a fund for buying stuff.
Well, yeah, and their stock is still great, so they don't have to even really...
spend money. Yeah.
Yeah.
Spend stock. Facebook Live going great guns. Washington Post has now a full-time, more than one, I think, Facebook Live producer. Their sole one and only job to produce live content for Facebook.
Yeah, I found that interesting. So they have two positions... now, of course, Facebook is paying various publishers, including the Washington Post.
Oh, so this might be Facebook money.
I think a good portion of it is.
Wow. So why not do it?
Right.
Facebook, if you want to give me some money, I'll hire some people.
Oh, yeah.
I would do that in a heartbeat.
Devote people to it.
Yeah.
I also find it fascinating. I was at a newspaper 2 days ago. The need to publish natively to platforms and specialize in those platforms is putting another huge burden on these guys and what they do. So you also have CNN is hiring a full-time, full-time Snapchat producer.
Yeah.
Yep.
Is Snapchat paying for that?
I don't think so.
No.
Snapchat does pay some organizations.
Do they? Wow.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you're in Discover, they do.
Social publishing. Yes. Wait a minute. This is... The weekend Snapchat producer.
Yes, the weekend. Yes.
Implying there is a weekday Snapchat producer.
There's another one, Leo, I didn't put up. There's a trunk job. You remember the trunk video we made fun of?
Yeah, yeah.
There's a trunk job listing.
Tribune.
Oh, is it the... Is
Chicago
it the one,
Tribune Online.
Like assembling other content job?
Yeah, it's just...
the army of bots?
Chief plagiarizer?
It's amazing.
Holy cow.
Aggregator.
You'd think they'd have the pride at least to change the description a little bit.
They think it's... No, well, they do. Oh, where is it? Okay, here we go. Here we go. I got it. Content specialist.
Oh, okay? Yeah. Well, that's
hiring a dedicated individual to join our... to develop and support our news content harvesting robots.
Harvesting robots!
That was it. And classification and management systems.
Harvest other people's content and turn it into, separate the wheat from the chaff and turn it to a fine loaf of
They are an news. Industry leader in providing content solutions to the global information marketplace, and with its innovative content ingestion, classification, and delivery platforms. As someone said,
it eats it up and it shoots it out.
Yeah, if you're making the metaphor to ingestion, guess what the delivery means. Put the link up here. Sorry.
This is what we've come to.
It is.
Chicago Tribune is now Tronk.
I just put it up in the...
Yeah, we see it.
Yeah, it's...
Wow.
So your job is to develop, maintain, and upgrade content harvesting robots, develop and refine news ontology. Most news people I know don't know what ontology means.
What does that mean?
Tagging.
In this context. No, tagging's context, taxonomy.
It's tagging. Yeah,
oh, that's true. Oh. Okay.
Well, it's a content structure.
Are they misusing the word ontology? I think they are.
Ontologically, they are.
It's a branch of metaphysics dealing with the nature of being, not taxonomy.
I think you're right. I think they are just using
They're misusing the word.
No, because ontology is when you talk about, science. Remember the semantic web?
Yeah.
So ontologies in the semantic web are classification systems, I believe.
Oh.
If you look at it as a...
Oh, yeah. Computer science and information science, an ontology is a formal naming and definition of the types, properties, and interrelationships of the entities that really or fundamentally exist for a particular domain of discourse. So it's a practical application of philosophical ontology plus a taxonomy. Let's not use the language as a brutal instrument of subjugation. Let's be inclusive. Fifth grade words, please. Wow.
I can't even believe I brought up the semantic web. Wow.
The semantic web. Whatever happened to that?
I don't know. Let's
Still
ask
Still alive at Tim Berners-Lee's dreams.
I think it's there. I think we're here. Don't get Kevin Marks started on it. That's all I can say.
No, don't do it. Where is Niagara Kevin?
Falls. Let me explain. I love Kevin. Yahoo, let's talk about it. $4.8 billion, not including Yahoo Japan or Alibaba, the valuable parts of Yahoo, just the intellectual property, the properties like Flickr and OMG.com. And are you sad, Stacey?
I'm just Verizon buying content in your carriers. This is their strategy to avoid kind of a dumb pipe. You get new revenue streams from ad.
Isn't that what Netflix and Comcast are doing? They're becoming creators.
Well,
nobody wants to be a dumb pipe.
Right. So it stresses me out that they're involved in my particular industry, I guess, media. So
I know. Well, Verizon is not the most beloved company in America. Right. But neither is Comcast.
Once they have DreamWorks, they will be.
Oh God!
DreamWorks, Universal.
Are they buying DreamWorks? I know Comcast owns Universal.
Comcast put in a $3.8 billion offer for DreamWorks.
You're right. Now I'm hanging my head.
Mark this moment. I'm going to defend Verizon.
What?
Not Verizon Mobile, but Verizon. I have Fios. I love Fios. Right. And so I'm a huge fan customer. It works well. A few weeks ago, 2 weeks ago on the show, somebody mentioned, maybe it was Twit, mentioned for some reason Frontier. I said, uh-oh. Well, did I find out. My poor parents in Florida, I was moving them into the retirement home. All we had to do was move their phone from one place to another. We had a week to do it. Frontier was awful. My sister, who is a Presbyterian minister, was driven 4.5 hours on the phone. She was driven to tears and cursing. Not that cursing is that uncommon for her, but makes a good story if she's a minister.
Well, Presbyterian's a little more lenient.
Yeah, a little more, yeah. So then I hit town. They're still nowhere. I go berserk. I finally wrote an impassioned email. I found the emails of the executives. Big mistake. Put it in the VP of customer service or customer relations. I sent her at 9:15, to her credit, I sent her at 9:15 at night an impassioned email. My parents, my mother's diabetic, my father, one of them's deaf, they can't move. This is a lifeline, and I'm out of town. 9:15 at night, 9:30 she called me, to her credit. And, the old bump it up to the president's office. So, do that. takes more days. They don't get it done. They can't get it installed. They don't show up when they're supposed to show up, even with the president's office involved. Then they do install it, and it works for 12 hours, and then they moved it back to the old house. And so I said, that's it. I've had it. And I'm going on Twitter, and people are saying, oh, yeah, they are the worst.
Everybody hates them. Everybody hates them. You should hear Southern California.
Oh, so then, I want to, that's it. They're in Bright House territory, which is just bought by Charter. And so I said, that's it. We're moving them to Bright House. Bright House couldn't get the number 3 days. I had to get back on the horn to the president's office. Unbelievable. Yeah, I mean, terrible. The VP was very nice, but if your staff just can't do it, somebody said on Twitter, oh, get a hold of Kevin Rose. He had to go to the president's office to get anything.
Really? Too?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
But fair.
Verizon sold its Southern Florida franchises to Frontier.
And the same thing happened.
Make you wish for Verizon. So I have one request, Verizon. I'm now in Fios territory. Please, Verizon, please. All is forgiven. I will say nice things. Don't sell me to Frontier, please.
To be fair, it may not be entirely Frontier's fault. Verizon may not have done the handoff very well. You understand? Their data may not have... There may have been a mismatch in the formatting. The data may not have, you know, it's same thing happened in Southern California. I don't know who to blame, and I hate to defend Verizon. So,
you mean Frontier?
Either one, Frontier or Verizon. But we don't know where the when you have a handoff, it could be either side that could have caused.
I don't know how long ago the handoff was.
Verizon bought. Or sold to Frontier in like 2008,
2009.
Oh, yeah.
Hold on.
Yeah,
it's
been
a while.
Hold on. Oh, okay. No. This is more recent because this transfer happened from Fios to Frontier in Southern California about 2 months ago.
Oh, wow.
I suspect it's related or it's the same time.
They did a big package. I think they added to it in one of their
It's been an ongoing thing because, remember, we talked a little bit about Frontier buying Verizon's Fios installation. Anyway,
that's just so. So here's a story from the Tampa Bay Times from April. Can Frontier regroup after its bundled Verizon Fios takeover, or will this get ugly? I give you the answer to that question, fella.
It's ugly, oogly. So Marissa Meyer, what?
Oh, I was seeing. There's a consumerist article from actually 2016. So
yes, no, this is a nightmare in Southern California because I'm on the radio down there. I get a lot of calls. Marissa Meyer says to Yahoo's anyway, I'm not going anywhere. What? That's not true.
No, there'll be a time.
$50 million. What was it? Was it $51 million? Golden parachute. Come on. Plenty to stay till the end of the month, maybe.
Well, when's the actual closing? Wouldn't she have to stay till the closing?
Yeah, she'll stay till the closing.
Well, when's the closing? I think the closing is until like 2017.
Yeah, because there is, I presume there's got to be regulatory approval. Maybe not. They're not quite in the same business. Problem is, well, of course, Verizon owns AOL, so maybe there is an issue. It looks, I made the joke, Verizon looks like a collector of old internet properties now. Yeah. Like they're buying, they're snapping them up.
You know, the LA Times had a story about Verizon getting some Silicon Valley real estate with this deal with the Yahoo. Oh. So I thought that was kind of an interesting. Well, I was like, oh, Verizon. I mean, they've got stuff, but
the real estate is included. Oh, I thought it wasn't going to be.
Interesting. Well, yeah, what does Yahoo need with a campus? Meyer says she couldn't be more proud. Couldn't be more proud of her achievements.
I'm still going to defend her to the extent that she had an impossible job. Utterly impossible job.
But, okay, I agree with you.
I don't know
you.
What I would... The test
Would you be touting the great job you did, though?
I think her point is, compared to what it was without her, you know, her the mobile... You know,
tripled the mobile base, 600 million monthly active users.
Yeah,
generated $1 billion of mobile advertising in the year gone by. Invested in and built our mobile, video, native, and social businesses from nothing in 2011 to $1.6 billion in Gap. Yeah, she leaves out, you know, bought Tumblr, didn't really make anything of that. Really weren't able to turn around Yahoo Mail or Flickr, the kind of jewels in the Yahoo crown, in any significant way. And really, the most of the value in Yahoo came from their prescient or maybe just lucky acquisition of stake in Alibaba.
But the big mistakes at Yahoo were made before her tenure, right?
I agree with you 100%.
Selling to Microsoft, she
even said at the time she must have seen this as a challenge and a worthy, you know, thing to sink her teeth into.
Yeah, if you're going to criticize her for anything, it's the hubris of thinking that you could fix Yahoo.
But why not? She's got nothing to lose.
Well, why not? Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's when women CEOs are often brought in. It's when the company is like,
true,
just nothing can be done. So you're like,
really? That's not when you bring in Chainsaw Al Dunlop?
These are the ones you want to have turn around. But think about it. I mean, there's Meg Whitman at eBay. She did actually really well.
That's interesting.
Meg Whitman at HP.
HP. And then
that was not great.
Carly Fiorina at HP.
Well, she was different. I'm just thinking of companies that are in trouble.
But Meg did go to eBay later, right? She's at eBay now, isn't she?
Is she at eBay now? Yeah. So I was thinking about her at HP.
Right.
That was just an untenable position.
HP's another company that just was unmanageable.
I just put another link up because Marissa, I think really to your point, Stacey, an important point, called out media for the sexist coverage that she had to suffer.
Really?
And then others. Yeah. So you'll see it in the rundown.
Really? I mean, I see sexism everywhere and I'm not a supporter of it, but I thought she got pretty even-handed coverage.
Think about
I'm trying to be gender blind and believe tech is a gender neutral zone, but do think there has been gender charged reporting. She told the Financial Times.
Okay.
We all see the things that only plague women leaders, like articles that focus on their appearance, like Hillary Clinton sporting a new pantsuit.
Right.
I think all women are aware of that, but I had hoped in 2015 and 2016 I would see fewer articles like that. It's a shame.
If she were a man, though, I think much of the criticism would be exactly the same. I mean, if a guy in there didn't turn it around.
They wouldn't call it a shopping spree necessarily.
Okay, you're right.
They wouldn't. Yeah. I mean,
I admit that. That's probably not the right phrase to use. But I also think Jerry Yang didn't turn it around either.
No.
And I don't think he was treated any better than Marissa Meyer was.
Yeah,
so
but
I
want to
brag about one of my... Go ahead.
I was going to say a double standard. Like, you got to be, you got to work twice as hard and be twice as good. She's going to go be raked over the coals far more than Jerry Yang was for freaking not selling to Microsoft.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean,
I think so. I want to brag about one of my students, one of my brilliant graduates named Jenny Avens, who's at Quartz, who did, I think, a brilliant job about talking about the headline is Hillary Clinton's husband wore a fetching pantsuit to honor her nomination.
Oh, that's terrible.
Mm-hmm. No, it was brilliantly done. It was brilliantly
fetching
done.
Fetching pantsuit. Oh, I see. It's a parody.
It's a parody of how all women are covered.
No, that sounds like a headline you would see, frankly. I thought it was a real headline. Yeah.
So it's on Quartz and it's short and I think I put the link up on there. It's really well done. Props to Jenny.
Yeah. I like the fake Hillary Clinton Medium post. Did you see that?
Oh, yes. That was just
You can't show it on your air.
It's so profane that I can't, but it was
hilarious.
Freaking awesome.
I've been effing doing my homework for 30 years.
Let me remind you effers who I am. What the F is your problem, America? I'm Hillary goddamn Clinton.
I also noted that it originally said Hillary Clinton, and now it says Hillary Clinton parody.
Oh, it didn't say parody?
Yeah, so glad. Really? I'm glad. I mean, this is, and Medium is apparently stepping in, and good.
It should say parody. It doesn't diminish it in any way to say parody. It resolves a momentary, and it would only be momentary, confusion. As soon as you start reading it, you go, oh, that's obviously a parody.
That is not her.
Yeah.
Although I bet if you got Hillary Clinton drinking talk to her about it for real, I'm sure that's a similar, she's got a similar.
That's subject. Why it's funny, because you know this is what she's.
So jealous. My son, Jake, met Hillary in New Hampshire and actually had a conversation.
He worked on her campaign.
My sister, the Reverend Jarvis, just got invited to a reception with the clergy in Philadelphia for Hillary on Friday. I'm jealous as hell.
Yeah, I'm never going to get an invitation now that I'm known as a sexist pig. It's over for me, but I'm voting for. This is my favorite one. I've been preparing my whole life for this job, effing job, so stop making me dab on Ellen and just give me an effing chance already. And there's a picture of her
on Ellen learning how to dab. I guess that's a dance, the kids dance, and it says effing kill me.
But we make politicians do sillier and sillier things.
Hey, although, Bill Clinton played the saxophone on Arsenio, so. Wasn't Obama on that show where you survive in the wild or something?
No, it was not Survivor.
Why is he on a, yes, he's on some reality show recently. I thought, don't you have something better to do?
He's been on like late night television, and FLOTUS has done Carpool Karaoke and Billy Eichman. And
but FLOTUS is a little different.
Obama did Between Two Ferns.
That was awesome, by the way.
Did he do Seinfeld? No. He did something where he had to drive around
there. He did Mark Maron. Did he do Seinfeld? Yeah, he did Mark Maron. Yeah, he did, because he had that great Corvette.
Yeah.
He wouldn't do running. I thought he did do Running Wild with Bear Grylls.
Oh, he did. So that's the one thing.
He did. There was only one thing he wouldn't do. He didn't want to get too wild.
Well, the very fact that he was on that show was bizarre, especially since he wasn't running for office. I understand when you're running for office, you kiss the babies.
Oh, but now he's in WTF mode.
Yeah.
Now clearly. It seems like there were more important things to do than run around with Bear Grylls.
Yeah, that's true. Did you watch the FLOTUS Carpool Karaoke?
No.
I have watched everything starring her.
Oh, it's good.
She's amazing.
And
it's really good.
Corden is great. It's a terrible show. I tried to watch a show, and it's an awful show. But
you see, they've just done a spinoff.
The Carpool Karaoke is very, very good.
They're spinning off that with other drivers.
Oh. No. It only works because of James Corden.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I don't know. I hate TV.
I hate TV. So she wasn't even in. That wasn't James Corden doing it with her?
Yeah, it was. In this case, I would say they just announced after that a spinoff.
Okay.
So I think it'll be an on web spinoff.
I was up
your
till
favorite YouTube stars doing Carpool Karaoke with.
No. Leo, maybe you could do it.
No.
Or who was that? Something big.
Ooh, Leo, you could do Carpool Karaoke in your Tesla. Yes.
Did you see? Did I talk about the Bill Gates interview with was it Neil Stephenson with the in his Tesla? Did I show you that? The most awkward. Did I not do that? Yes, it was very awkward.
Yes.
Neil Stephenson, the author?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's hilarious.
It was so unintentionally painful. And it's in his Model X. It's in the Gates Model X. And they did it in 360 degree because it wouldn't be enough just to be talking to. But the thing that was awkward was like the whole thing was awkward as hell. It was just really weird. So it just shows you.
That's unflattering camera angle right there.
Well, it never.
No, it's not.
No, wide angle. Not good. Bill apparently really enjoyed Seven Eves, Neil's most recent novel. And I did too. It's very good. For a man. Let's see. I'm just going to add that from now on, for a man, just to kind of balance things out.
I'll sort of keep you honest.
For a white male, that's pretty surprisingly good. Twitter's going to not only stream football, they got MLB, Major League Baseball, and NHL hockey. Twitter is becoming the go-to sports leader, right? No. Why would you watch it?
They just promoted now, watch the convention. So I clicked on it on Twitter, and it's CBSN, and it says, we'll resume in 100 seconds.
Thank you, because we're in a commercial.
Yeah.
Well, but that's like what MLB does on MLB.com.
Yeah.
I mean, snack time.
Is it for people like you, Stacey, who just don't own a TV, and so you want to watch TV on Twitter? I just really don't understand it.
I own a TV. I just don't have cable.
Right.
And I don't watch anything.
But if you wanted to watch, sports, you'd have to watch on Twitter.
I would Chromecast it.
Oh.
If I wanted to watch it on Twitter.
Okay.
So
Leo, I couldn't do this on my Chromebook. Or you're on a real machine there, right?
Yes.
The Google Omnitone surround sound project. I couldn't get the demo working.
Oh, I don't have Flash, but let me see.
Oh, maybe it's Flash. No, I think it was
As long as it's not Flash. Where can I see a lot of articles about it, but I actually want the
it's on the rundown, and there's a link to.
Oh, okay. Do I have to wear my it's web-based VR?
That's the thing, it's web-based.
Do I have to wear my helmet?
I don't think so.
Spatial audio. Oh, yeah. So the idea, yeah, this is kind of been under, underplayed in VR, is you really, good audio makes a big difference. It needs to be as 300, as immersive as the video.
Exactly. Our you remember Sarah Bartlett, our dean, her son has made this his specialty.
All right.
It's a brilliant specialty.
Everybody, put on your headphones. And which one should we do? Forza Imprevista or Resonanza?
Well, let's be classy.
It's both. They're both classy. All right. Drag the screen to hear the spatial audio effect. Press play to play the video. Okay. Ooh. Ooh. Now it's coming from the right. Now it's coming from the left.
Oh, this is like those surround sound, THS surround sound demos.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like 8 simulated speakers.
That's kind of fun. Oh, my God. Now we're looking at someone's bedroom.
Okay, so he's in front of us. Now I'm going to move it behind us.
She, I think.
She. It. Boy, she should have really picked up before she did this. Now she's behind us. Can you tell she's behind us? Can you tell? Can you tell he's behind us? Can you tell he's in front of us? Can you tell he's not made his bed?
Can you, since you're there?
This is terrible. Is this really what they thought? Oh, you're not getting in stereo. It's working for me.
That's
what I'm asking. Does it work for you?
You're not getting it in stereo? It's not behind you now?
I have one ear plugged in.
It's totally working.
It is working.
It's totally working. Oh, now he's in a church. Suddenly the bed got made.
Yeah, I was like, what happened?
This is pretty cool. So this is exactly what immersive media needs to do, which is come from... Now we're in a burnout warehouse with graffiti on the wall. Okay.
And asbestos everywhere.
Let's go back to the gallery because I'm not getting this, man. Let's go to Fuerza Imprevista. This is cool. No, this definitely works. If go to googlechrome.github.io/omnitone. This is VR Playhouse.
And to you I was. I like this music.
So she's singing. She's in front of us. Now she's, tell me where she is. Can you tell she's on the left? Now she's behind us. You were content. No one was there. This should work with stereo. This is, does not require more than a stereo. I can't remember. Do we put this out as a stereo podcast? I think we do. I think we were going to start doing it. You could find out more.
I only have one ear plug in, so I'm...
Yeah, you're not... Yeah, Google open source blog.
I can tell.
Yeah, right? It worked. So
it does. I wonder if it works if you like Chromecast that to an actual surround sound system, if it plays that way.
Well, the point I would guess is that...
is for VR headsets.
Using stereo headphones and modern imaging capabilities... you can simulate surround with only 2 speakers.
Right, without having all the channels. It's kind of like Doppler. Is Doppler doing something like that? No, they're
Dolby.
Doing... No, sorry, not Dolby. Yes, Dolby. But no, Doppler is a startup that got $24 million, but they're actually doing pulling out noise cancellation for specific noises, like when you're talking or listening to someone on a conference call and you're using your headset. Yeah. They actually filter out... like sirens and everything else. And anyway,
nice.
Different technology, but very cool.
A lot of this is computer technology using
DSPs. You know,
it's simulating these effects and doing quite a good job because, hey, computers, they're smart.
They're getting there.
They're
not getting much smarter if we talk about Moore's Law. Dun, dun, dun.
Uh-oh, is Moore's Law being broken?
Again? They're saying we've got until 2021.
Oh no!
Dun, dun, dun.
Can I just point out?
They
said we would only have till 2010 a few years ago. So,
But
it will live on.
What?
But it will live on.
Transistors will stop shrinking, but Moore's Law will live on because we have new technologies.
3D stacking, cooling. There's quantum tunneling that's really interesting. I saw a company that is doing a new transistor based on, what was it? Quantum tunneling and something else. And then did you guys see Engadget had a story about atom scale storage? I don't know if y'all saw that.
And that's where the original concerns about Moore's law, even Moore himself said at some point, and we are very close to this, we're now down to, I think, 14 nanometer.
I think we're 11 on certain memory chips.
So at some point, quantum effects become an issue and you can't go any smaller.
Oh, if you want to talk about leakage and quantum effects, I am your girl.
Are you the queen of leakage?
Really?
The queen of leakage. Yes, that depends.
What do you mean, Stacey Higginbotham? How'd you become an expert in all this?
I covered chip manufacturing for a while.
No kidding. Wow.
So
lithography. So tell us about quantum effects. Do they not become a problem as you get down to 8 or 9 nanometers?
No, there's still a problem. It becomes more expensive and you have to use these crazy things like doping. Mm-hmm. And you've got FinFET technologies where you create like, what's the word I'm looking for? 3D transistors, or you kind of not stack the actual chips, but you create different shapes on the transistor. But the whole point is, as you move your transistors closer together to cram more of them on a chip, electricity that you need to conduct the signals, it starts, you can't control it as well. And we're talking at widths that are, let's see, what is it? 10 nanometers is like 1,000. Is it like 1/1,000th of a human hair? I mean, this is ridiculously small.
10 nanometers, according to Scott in the chat, Scott Michelle in the chat room, is 18 to 20 atoms.
There you go.
That's tiny.
Jeez.
That's tiny.
That's what we're talking about. So things just get crazy. It becomes much more expensive. Your yields go down because these things aren't going to be, you know, you can't manufacture them in a way that's consistent. And there's also the idea that outside of storage, where you could do a lot of cool stuff, you may not need that many transistors and the processing power. It may be better to like split it up over different chips. There's all kinds of other kind of technologies we're looking at. So
the wall we ran into really before that was really the clock wall, that we really weren't able to get past 4 gigahertz in processors reliably. And Intel was kind of surprised by that. That was the whole Itanium fiasco. And I think that was Intel's response was, well, okay, fine. We'll just give you 4 of them. Or 8 of them, or 12 of them, or 20 of them, or 30 of them, or whatever. And now, of course, Intel's being eclipsed by ARM, which is not, clock speeds are slower, but there are other techniques being used that improve performance. And I think you're right, Stacey. I think performance isn't really the issue for most of the stuff we do right now. There are other issues like power consumption.
Yeah. Thanks to virtualization, you can actually split up a job pretty mm-hmm. easily mm-hmm. among many cores. I think we talked about this last week. Yeah. Anyway.
No, I don't think we did. It must have been you and Tofu.
I must have been just doing something else. So once you've got, virtualization, you've got this massive server that's doing like dozens of small jobs. So you could actually split that up between different cores. And that was why ARM thought they were going to have a play in the server space.
Talk about that part. Yes, you're right.
Yeah. So they've done a bunch of things like in containers, actually, kind of now that we're all talking about, you know, various containers, that actually changes it a little Docker, Kubernetes. Yeah. Anyway, and now
Pokemon Go uses Kubernetes, we think, by the way.
Is that why it doesn't work in Google's cloud?
I think the issue is not... So that's actually a good example of really where you run into problems scaling is not processor speed, but transactions and handoffs. And so that's that we don't know. Nobody's talking. But the thought is that that's one of the problems Pokemon Go's having is it's got all these transactions between maps and OAuth and it's just a very complex system, and that's why it's so difficult to scale it. You can't just throw more servers at that because you got all these handoffs. And there's bottlenecks. We had a great segment on the new screensavers on Saturday with nobody in the know, but people who work with scaling servers and things like that. It's very interesting. Atom scale storage that you were just talking about, 62 terabytes per square inch.
Yes, and let's stress right now before people get too excited, this is research level. This is not something you can buy.
But isn't it amazing? I mean, we've seen this. I mean, I thought, I remember saying on the radio that, oh, you won't be using a hard drive in the year 2010 because hard drive, I think it was actually the year 2000, hard drives will be eclipsed by some other form of 3D storage or solid state storage. Hard drives went much farther than we thought. And now I think we're looking at solid state storage that can go much, much farther than we thought. It's really impressive, these technologies. We find more and more ways to squeak out performance, and it's really impressive density. They're using they're coding the data using a scanning tunneling electron microscope to shuffle chlorine atoms on a surface of copper. Creating data blocks where QR-style code markers indicate location and whether or not they're in good condition. This is how you get 500 times the density of the best hard drives. What? What? You can buy a 10-terabyte hard drive now for a few hundred dollars.
But imagine if you had that storage on your phone. Or imagine if you... I mean, you would have to rewrite... You would have to rewrite your coding and programming language because you'd have nearly infinite storage.
Right. It's
kind of mind-boggling.
Yeah.
And speaking of quantum tunneling,
yes.
Which, oh my God, we were.
Yes.
There's a company called Amorphyx, Amorphyx. And they filed for a patent that basically, let's see if I can do this. I was reading about this and I was just like, what? It replaces the semiconductor-based transistor with something else. It's the amorphous metal hot electron transistor. So that's what their patent's filed for. And again, they're using quantum tunneling too to create these new types of transistors. I have many questions for them, and I want to know way more about this because it looks fascinating.
We are in a situation, though, where this top technology isn't, we can't even understand it, let alone recreate it. And if the handful of people that understand it and make it disappeared, we'd really be deep doo-doo.
Well, think about, I mean, like, we've had CMOS for, God, how many years?
Yeah.
Was it 1970?
Long time, yeah.
So, I mean, if we can standardize around something else, and that's a big if, since there's so many options out there, it'll be a new generation, and we'll get, the basics will be down, and then the fun stuff will be all the software and how to like optimize it and all that great stuff.
Wow.
But first we have to get there, and everything will have to be kept cold. I don't know if you noticed that, but quantum computers need to be kept in like
superconducting. Yeah.
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 And then these quantum tunneling, the making of these crazy chlorine whatever things, they can only operate at like negative 77. Is it Celsius or Fahrenheit? Let's see. It's cold.
At that point, it doesn't matter. Celsius and Fahrenheit coincide at 40.
Sorry,
so
it's 77 Kelvin.
Kelvin.
Wrong scale.
That's really cold.
Negative 300.
Kelvin starts at absolute zero. So that's really cold. That's almost absolute zero. All right.
So yeah, these are made in very specialized places.
Did you know the Fisherman's Wharf area in San Francisco has 70 Pokestops? Each of them, tomorrow night, each of them will have an active lure on it between 6 and 9. Means that this is the one place in San Francisco you do not want to go tomorrow night. It will be swarming with Pokemon Go fanatics, thousands of them. And I'll tell you, we have a park with three lures on it, and you can barely move. So this is going to be nuts.
I talked to a friend of mine today from London who was with his teenage son in the south of England on vacation to go to the beach, and the kid got all the Pokemon there were to be had around and begged to go back to London.
Yeah. Hashtag Wharf Poke Night. If that becomes trending on Twitter, you'll know.
I saw people out on the streets of New York right after this started doing Pokemon. I have not seen it for a week at all.
What?
I think it's, I know.
It's over in New York?
I think it's peaked.
I think we're the cool place.
We've reached Pokey Peak. Peak Pokey? Jeez. No stuff. Well, we'll see what happens tomorrow night at the Fisherman's Wharf. It's the Wharf's Poke Night, 6 to 9 p.m. 75 Poke Stops with active lures. It'll be a. And you know who's sponsoring this? The local businesses. Why? Because they're going to attract thousands of people to have drinks, have something to eat, do a little shopping. Mm-hmm. From Pier 39 to Ghirardelli Square. And, of course, it's free. Wow. Actually, I'm tempted. I want to go down. I'd like to see that.
Camera.
All right. I think anything else you guys want to talk about before we get to the picks of the week? I want to leave time for that because Stacey's got something extra special. And so do I. I have an unboxing. Something came today in the mail.
No, I'm just curious about your opinion and Steve's opinion about the Kremlin and WikiLeaks.
We talked a little bit about it yesterday, but the news continues to develop on that one, and it seems very clear at this point that the Russians did hack the DNC's servers. Even the FBI national law enforcement is saying that. The other thing that I found interesting was Assange, who had, I didn't know this, but in an interview a couple of months ago said, I have some dynamite stuff, but I'm holding on to it to an appropriate time, and has now admitted that he did time the release for the days right before the Democratic Convention because, for reasons I don't quite understand, Assange, well, I understand why he doesn't like Clinton, but he apparently wants to throw the election. Now, Clinton has said, I think, that Assange should be prosecuted for WikiLeaks, which I disagree with. But maybe there's more to it than that.
She was the head of the State Department.
Yeah. Well, she should be saying that. That's her job to say that. And I, on the other hand, think that WikiLeaks is a good thing. We wouldn't know about a lot of nefarious activity, including the Panama Papers.
Yes, but there's a story in Fast Company saying that WikiLeaks has gone from whistleblower to weapon.
Well, that's clear. It's being weaponized.
Selectively.
Yeah.
If it is used selectively,
he needs to be
Assange's agenda.
Yeah, that's right.
That's a very different matter.
I agree. You know, WikiLeaks should be.
Agenda or Trump's agenda right, or whoever's right. agenda.
They shouldn't be holding back material to time it to have the most explosive.
Exactly what they complained the New York Times did, that it held it back to the opposite.
Right.
The original unwarranted search. Phone record story that they held it back on behalf of the government for a different reason. Well, then Assange is guilty of the exact same thing.
Right. Oh, Scooter X is reminding us about the family library. You say you can't get it to work, Jeff?
Well, I guess it's going to roll out. And yeah, I tried to, and it wouldn't let me. It said ominously, like, you can't have this.
Your family is too big. So you can share your Google Play purchases, and that includes apps, but also TV and movies with others up to 6 family members. And I don't think they check the bloodline. So it's really up to 6
people
so across devices.
They take the ex-girlfriend out
right.
function.
I was going to say, once they have 23andMe totally integrated, then boom. Then it'll be your real family.
Then they have genetic information. Google is just kicking off the official rollout to Australia, Brazil, Canada, France, Germany, Ireland, Italy, Japan, Mexico, New Zealand, the UK, and the US. But it's going to be staged, as always. So I have the $15 family plan. But so you do have to have that, right, Jeff?
No, I think for the things that I have bought.
Wow.
So I bought lots.
At no additional cost. Wow.
I think so, yes. But damn, I put the wrong link in there. Darn.
Wow. Okay, so that's interesting. So I have the music family plan, but this is kind of different. Just get started with Family Library. Well, I should try this. You'll access a new setting in the Play Store where you could figure one person as the family manager and add the other members. A family manager should be an adult in the family who's responsible for adding, removing members. This is how Apple does it as well. It's based on somebody's account. They'll also enter in the payment information where family purchases.
Let me understand that. I can share everything I buy, but if Jake buys something, I won't get that.
Every member's purchase will be shared with everyone else.
Oh.
But that could be terrible.
Well, but there's the option to selectively share it. So parental controls, I don't know if it's that. I guess I don't
know. Because I can do that with Amazon with my daughter's Kindle using Kindle Free Time.
Right.
I can throw movies that we've bought and all this other stuff on her Kindle. I'm just trying to think of an analogy. But God, that's such a pain. I'd hate to be the, like, I'm already the network.
Yeah, the process right now on the Apple requires, it really is a pain. And periodically, members of my family will have to call me up and say, what are the last four digits of the credit card number that you used? Like, I'm going to share, like, the...
Wait a second here. No, hold on. There's a problem. Select a credit card as the family payment method.
Yes.
Family library and play music family plan requires a shared payment method.
Right.
Does that mean that my kids can't then buy things on their own with their own money? It all has to be
together? Oh, that's interesting.
I wouldn't want that.
No, it'll okay. You can go to play.google.com/store/family/create. Thank you, Scooter X. play.google.com/store/family, and you can see if /create and see if you're eligible. He says, let's try it. Google Play Family Library is not available for you yet. This is the no soup for you.
That's what I got. That's what I had before. But now that was right before the show. I got that. Now I'm in.
Oh, you are in.
Oh, you're complaining panned out.
Turn it on for Jarvis. He's bitching again.
Of course, I have to do it with my Google Gmail account, not my apps.
Oh, you can't
account.
Do it.
No, because my Play stuff is all stuck. In the time when you couldn't use apps with Play, I am stuck in a bifurcated world where all of the things I purchased are in my Gmail account when I'd rather in my apps account, but you cannot move things over. Oh! Unless... unless I can invite myself in my apps account. Into my family thing, and maybe then I can use...
You could. That's one of the accounts, maybe, huh?
I still have to purchase with my Gmail account, but I can play with my apps account.
Cool.
See what you've done to me, Google? This is how I spend my days and nights.
Yeah. Yeah, if you...
Stacey, are you signing up?
No, I was actually playing with Prisma on the...
Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome?
Yes. But it's not great on the Android.
It's slow. It's slow, or it doesn't finish sometimes, right?
It's slow and it crashes all the time.
Yeah. I don't know if that's because so many people are using it now, or it's 10 million downloads on iOS. It's an amazing, really wonderful app.
It's fun.
Yeah.
I've been turning my pictures into art.
And it's, it's kind of like a filter, but it's better, I think, because it's like, it's doing some sort of AI style.
It's painting it in the style of a certain artist in some of them.
It's like repainting it.
Right.
It's wild. Yeah. Does anybody have the Google beta version of the Google app on their Android device? Because it's got some new commands, including, I like this, an ETA command. So when you get in your car and it pairs to your Bluetooth, you can get an ETA notification. I don't know how it knows where you're going. Maybe based on your
calendar, or
your calendar. Yeah, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, I like how my calendar pops up in my car.
That's weird.
Oh, it's nice.
It is nice, I guess. Yeah.
And then if you hit your address where you're going, it'll navigate to it.
I was my theory is that was why it did that, so you could see, I have an appointment, and if there's an address in that appointment, I can just have it automatically go to the navigation. Cool. I thought that might happen. All right.
So I just invited myself to it.
No, you didn't invite yourself. You invited your other account to it.
My other self.
Yeah.
I'm very confused.
So you're on your consumer account, and you're inviting your Google for Work account.
And there we go. One new. You're invited to join Google Play.
Nice.
Invitation.
So that way you're going to be able to move all your consumer account apps over to your Work account.
I hope so.
That'd be nice. Your movies and stuff.
When you join, you can use the family payment for purchase over.
So it'll give you a choice to say, do you want to use the family card or your card?
So I've got to tell my kids. Well, I'm paying for it anyway. Oh, nope. Account not supported.
No. Darn it.
Sorry, Jeff.
Oh.
Google!
Oh, darn it. Look for version 6.2 of the Google beta app for these new Google features. This Google, is not the Google. Beta. This is that I have. I don't know how you get to the beta. You just have to know. You have to know the secret password. It's Swordfish. Our show today brought to you by Rocket Mortgage. Wouldn't you like to bring the mortgage process into this century? You can with Rocket Mortgage. Actually, this is great. Quicken Loans, everybody knows Quicken Loans. They are, you know, probably one of the foremost home mortgage lenders in the United States. They realized that a lot of people, and they wanted to reach people like you who listen to our shows, you folks are computer literate. You, unlike some, would like to do this all on your computer, or even better, from your couch on your tablet or phone. So they've created Rocket Mortgage to bring the mortgage approval process into the 21st century. It's fast, it's powerful, and most importantly, it's completely online. No more searching through stacks of files and paperwork and putting them in a box and carrying them to your mortgage broker. With Rocket Mortgage, you can share your bank statements and pay stubs with a touch of a button. And because it's a computer, you can get approved instantly in minutes for a custom mortgage solution that's tailored to your unique financial situation. Rocket Mortgage. It's a quick online process you can manage from the convenience of your couch. So if you're looking to refi, if you're looking to buy, I'm sure, Stacy, you must have recently just got a mortgage for that brand new, beautiful house. What a pain in the butt that process used to be.
It is tough.
Oh, go to quickenloans.com/twig. Quickenloans.com/twig for Quicken Loans Rocket Mortgage. Equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumerAccess.org number 3030. Rocket Mortgage at quickenloans.com/twig. We thank Rocket Mortgage for their support of This Week in Google. I would like to unbox something right now before we get to Stacy's pick of the week and Jeff's number of the week. This just came.
Mevo. I'm going to be pissed.
No, it's not. Oh, where is my Mevo?
I know.
Where is that? I bought it because you said to buy it, and I still haven't got it, and you haven't. In fact, when we saw them at NAB, because it's live stream.
You did.
Yeah, and they demoed it, and I thought it was quite cool. They said, we'll get you one right away. Nothing. No, this is ZTE, Chinese phone company.
Oh.
And they have released, kind of like OnePlus, a $400 flagship style Android phone. This is the Axon 7.
Oh.
And I pre-ordered it online, and it just came today, so.
Does this come with Chinese government snooping?
Well, I'm trying to remember, but I'm pretty sure ZTE was one of the companies that the Department of Commerce said the American company shouldn't have anything to do with. Who knows? Everybody's snooping on everybody else, right? It's a nice box. These Chinese companies would love to Huawei and ZTE and what's the one Hugo Barra
works
for? Xiaomi.
Xiaomi
would love to get in. One of the things that I was interested in is the front-facing speakers. They said it sounded quite good. I don't remember who they is. Oh, it's pretty. It's thin.
It is?
Yeah. Every phone looks the same these days, though, don't they?
That does.
Yeah.
Yeah. What size is that screen?
Looks like very similar to the one. In fact, so similar to the OnePlus One that I don't know if I'll be able to tell the difference.
Huh.
So that's 5.2. It's not super big. Headphones. SIM good. I can have change the SIM. Let's see. Type C. Looks like it comes with some sort of Type C adapter. Well, that's a good idea. Ooh. Micro USB to Type C. That's a great idea.
That's like, I'd buy it for that.
Yeah.
I would too, yeah.
I have quite a few of those now. I do like Type C. I'm all Type C. Let's turn it on and see what it looks like. $400. That's pretty, looks like a pretty good screen here. So this is the ZTE Axon. And you can get it directly online. It's unlocked. You know, one of the big questions, and I think this is the first time they've sold a phone in the U.S. One of the questions, of course, is how pure an Android it'll be, and more importantly, really for me, whether they'll do those updates. Because if you don't do the Google security updates, 20 megapixel camera, optical image stabilization, 4K video, 240 frames per second slow motion. Everything's got to do that now. Aluminum. Ooh, that speaker does sound kind of good. Full metal jacket. I love the fingerprint reader on the back. That's always the way to do it, right? I'll carry this around. It's pretty. It's a little heavier than the OnePlus 3. It reminds me a lot of the OnePlus 3, though. NFC. It's got a. I think it's got a very good DAC. It looks like for audio. They're really focusing on audio. Dual noise suppression mics. 4 gigs RAM. 64 gigs ROM. It's a Snapdragon 820.
That's a good chip.
It's the best.
I'm like, ooh.
This is flagship, right? Flagship quality.
That is flagship.
$400. 3250 milliamp hour battery. We'll see. We shall see. Oh, dual SIM, of course, and SD card support. That's nice. That is nice. That's one thing that is missing on the OnePlus 3. And they're claiming good battery life. Quick charge 3.0. That's another thing OnePlus 3 has. That is remarkable. You were talking about that, I think, Stacey. Half an hour.
I love it.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yes.
And I guess they say, sound, cameras, performance. That's good. I mean, what it really is, to me, what this points up is the challenge Apple's facing in this market, because they're, and Samsung actually as well, twice as much. Do you get twice as much phone? I don't think so.
It's larger. It fits in fewer of my pockets.
Yeah. I think this is big enough.
Yeah,
that's sufficient. I'll have to put SIM cards in. Is there a screen protector on here? It must be, because this does not look good. Yeah, there it is. There we go. That's better. All right, so I'm not going to skip this. Yeah, I wouldn't say a great screen. It looks IPS. Not OLED, but $400. I shall have a full review sometime in the next week or so. Usually like to spend a week with a phone, at least to get the, it's interesting. They are using some pretty good DACs in this. It looks like it's got high-res playback and all of that, which is kind of interesting. 96.
What do you lose by having to switch phones every 3 weeks?
You know, with Android, not much.
Not much, really.
No, that's the beauty of Android, because I lose the hour it takes to download or two that takes to download all the apps again. But I always back up to Google, so it's got everything in it. And then I let it download the apps. And then one of the reasons I use Nova Launcher is because I can save my desktop setup. This is the biggest pain on iPhones, because you have to go through. It's no easy way to get your desktop setup back. But on Android, I just download my desktop setup in the Nova Launcher, and it looks exactly the same. In 2 hours, this will be indistinguishable from every other Android phone I use. And that makes it a lot easier. Anyway. That's mine. Let's get a number, then we'll let Stacy show us hers.
What should I do? What should I do? Okay, so this one is all right. One of these stupid rundowns, the 13 craziest Google patents, most of which we've heard about, most of which we know. But there's a few ones I didn't know in there that I thought were amusing. Now I got to find the darn...
By the way, I think this actually is an OLED screen now that I look at it. It's looking very nice. Yeah. Wow. Go ahead.
No, it's okay. So the one I didn't know about was tattoos. It's a 2012 tattoo.
You can patent a tattoo?
That includes a microphone and a lie detector on your neck.
Ooh. Why would you want a lie detector?
I think you put it on somebody else when they're sleeping.
Uh-huh.
The other one is another 2002, the portable fan that would attach to your body and spray fragrance when it detects that you're exerting yourself to cover up your body.
Oh, that's hysterical.
Wow.
A Google
If they revamp that for mosquito repellent with Zika, that'd be great. Except Off, I think, sells one.
Do they really? The special Zika, spritzer?
I don't. They sell a spritzer. I don't know if it's a mosquito
designed
repellent.
For Olympic athletes?
That needs more than just repelling mosquitoes.
You see,
yeah, it does. The poor people who have to be in on the water, God help them.
Oh God, that water does not look clean.
It's
so not clean. It is. It's like a Superfund site. I mean, it's you're swimming in effluent. It's gross.
Yeah, it's really awful. I don't blame the athletes who were saying, "Never mind,
never mind." I'll skip this one.
I'm going to Rio after the Olympics, but I'm thinking I'm not going on the water. Then there's a Nest patent with all kinds of sensors on the crib, which I think is nice. Yeah,
yeah,
like
it's a good.
I've talked about that.
A Nest crib. That's a great name. I'd buy a crib that's a Nest.
Yeah.
I think there's a brand called Oof that makes a crib that's actually a Nest crib. But this would be great until it goes down like so many of the Nest products do. And you're like, my baby, what happened?
Are you anti-Nest now?
I'm not anti-Nest. I'm just, Nest has some issues. And like just this week, they were down for remote access.
Do you use a Nest?
I do. I use a Nest. Ooh, is that a nice bag?
Is that your Merce?
Yes.
That's a nice bag.
Isn't it?
I bought a new bag. That should have been my thing. Dang. Okay. Sorry, Jeff. Keep going.
Now you won't have one for next week.
No, those are the only three I like. What's special about your Merce, Leo?
Nothing. I just had this is where my 200 gigabyte SD card is.
Oh, I see.
I carry in my Merce all the tools, the SIM changer, SIMs, extra SD cards, in case a new phone should arrive. I'm not kidding.
I believe it.
That's why I started carrying that. And this, I'll show you the other reason I started carrying a Merce. Not for that. My keys I feel like a jailer.
Well,
that's ridiculous.
Your phone should be your key. Wow.
That's right. My phone should be my key.
Wow.
Like a little mini Tesla.
Does. Oh, you know what?
It says Model X, and it's got little window. You press the window, the door, you press different parts for different things to have happen.
It's true. I bought a little cover that's like a little plastic thing that shapes over that, because they give you this leather one that's just too big.
Oh, they didn't give me nothing.
I'm sorry.
No, but it's a nice experience when you buy a new one. They have a little, kind of like a little plaque and stuff. I mean, they gave me an umbrella. Sucker plaque. They gave you the special sucker plaque. It's great. There we go. I got my SD card. Stacy, your pick of the week.
All right. This in keeping with my literary tradition, not so much. If you aren't watching Stranger Things, you should be, because it is like X-Files meets Goonies. And
exactly.
I'm not even a huge horror fan, but.
Me neither.
It's only eight episodes.
I think they've got renewed for a second season.
They did. Yeah. And I haven't gotten all the, I'm on, where are we? Tonight is episode 7. And I actually have come up with this like Stranger Things quote unquote hack. Because I can't handle where the show cuts off.
Yeah,
right now.
They do it really well with cliffhanger cutoffs every time.
So now, like at some point in time towards the end of the show, I'm just like, stop it right here.
Oh, that's funny.
So we can go to bed.
Oh, that's hysterical. Yeah, because so that's why I've seen all eight in a couple of days for that. Because Lisa will say, let's just watch the next one.
That's what my husband's. He's like, we could do three in a night.
A night. Easy. Yeah. It doesn't take long. It's a good show. You should watch it. This is a Netflix original. I just saw a review online that says one of the five best Netflix originals, which isn't.
Ooh.
I mean.
Watch that. Have you watched Brain Dead?
No.
No.
What's that?
It's an Amazon original. It's also on CBS. It is Alien Ants. It's from the producers of The Good Wife.
Oh, I love that show.
Exactly. And alien ants, it explains why Washington is so messed up, because alien ants have gone into the heads of politicians and their brains departed. And that's why they're all being stupid. And so it just explains our current politics.
That's pretty funny.
It is. It's great. Tony Shalhoub is in it.
I love him. He looks like there's brain ants in his brain.
Yeah, he does it very well. So yeah. I love that. I love Brain Dead. And then I'm a huge fan. I think we've talked about it, Unreal.
I haven't seen that.
Oh, I want to watch that.
You got to go start at the first season, but it's only, you can, it is the best. Unreal is a fictional account of behind the scenes of a Bachelor-like show. It is magnificent. I love this show.
The reality behind reality.
Yeah, so it's their moral quandaries and doing horrible, evil, awful things just for the sake of showbiz. It's those are my two favorite shows right now.
Lovely.
Stranger Things. I'll watch Stranger Things. Thank you, Stacey.
Yeah, it's Winona Ryder's return to a television.
Loves.
Yeah.
She's, you know, in.
It's kind of irritating in this one.
Yeah, because she's kooky.
Yeah, she plays a harried mom of with a missing child. So you totally understand why she's a bit shrill, but you're kind of like.
Enough with the shrill.
Yeah, please, Winona, take it down.
You know what's interesting? There are three different distinct groups. I think you'll be interested in the structure of it, Jeff, because there's three distinct groups. There's the kids, the Goonie age kids. By the way, there's a lot of resemblance to E.T. as well. And this is it's the 80s, so it's got all the 80s.
Spielbergian. Yeah. The guys basic, and there's actually posts that you can see that pull out every reference in the whole thing.
It's the Duffy brothers, whoever they are.
Dufflers.
The Duffler brothers. And then there's a teenage cast, and then there's an adult cast. And they're parallel stories, and it's really well done. It's all one story, but it's really well done.
It is.
Yeah, I really liked it.
And as a child who grew up watching those movies, I was just like,
it's your people. Okay, that's not going to be my ringtone.
Sorry.
I don't care. ladies and gentlemen, we've come to the end of this fabulous episode. I hope you've enjoyed This Week in Google This Week. Thanks ever so to Jeff Jarvis. You're going to stay home for a little longer, or are we going to lose you?
Yeah, I go to Aspen, but I'll be back in time. So I think.
Are you going for the big booze, Allen, or whatever it is thing? What is it?
No, I go for a Wither journalism thing.
Oh, nobody not, wants not to booze, Allen. What Allen? What's his name?
The Sun Valley Allen and Company.
Allen and Company.
That's over.
That's in Sun Valley in Idaho, isn't it?
Yeah, okay. that's
different. Okay,
I never get invited to those things.
Yeah,
I was going to say, wow, Jeff, you're fancy.
He goes to Davos every year. Don't give me that.
Yeah.
That's one of those things.
That is also fancy.
Yeah, that's extremely fancy.
I'm going to take you a 360 of my hotel room, and you're not going to feel so.
And, of course, the wonderful, Stacey Higginbottom. We love the Stacey. You'll find her. She does another podcast, which is excellent and a must listen with our...
Sorry, I got
to. You need two more if you're going to do that.
No, tomorrow my guest on the podcast is Charlie Kindle, who is the head of Amazon Echo's Echo program. So we talk about the Echo, and it's going to be a good show. So
is the Kindle named after him?
No, he says that he's been trying to get Jeff Bezos to spell it right, but so far he's not listening.
That's very funny. To be working at Amazon named Kindle, that must be something.
In the hardware division.
Where can we find that podcast, Stacey?
IoTpodcast.com or on iTunes, Spotify, Podcatcher, blah, 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 TuneIn.
Everywhere Twig is, that's where it is too.
Basically.
She's on the Twitter at GigaStacey. And can I get to your other website from IoTpodcast.com?
I believe so. It's okay. Stacey on IoT, but I think it's there. If it's not, it will be there within a few minutes.
Yeah, because it's easier to give out one and have it linked.
It is.
So great. So great to have you both. Love doing this show. It's a great way to end my week. We do Twig every Wednesday, 1:30 Pacific, 4:30 Eastern, 20:30 UTC. Please watch live. You'll get to see the sausage being made. But if you're not interested in that, you just want the sausage... You can download on-demand audio and video after the fact at twit.tv/twig or wherever finer pod tunes are aggregated, including, yes, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, iTunes, and everywhere else. And, of course, we've got Twit apps on every platform, too. Thank you, everybody, for being here. Nice to see you. We'll see you here next week, right?
Yes.
Yay. Oh,
No. I'm sorry. I think I'm in Seattle, so I'm going to be drinking and eating oysters. I'm sorry. After that, I stopped sort of traveling.
Well, you know what? Just for that, I'm not going to be here next week either.
I'm all alone?
It's just going to be Jeff. Yeah, I'm going to San Diego, and I have to run out of here to catch the flight. So Jason Howell
will be... I'll just talk to myself.
No, Jason Howell will be here, which should be a lot of fun. And we'll have more people, too. I don't. We probably already booked somebody, but I don't know who it is. But Jason and Jeff, at least. I'm going to see Steve Martin's new play featuring Jenna Fisher of The Office fame.
That'll be awesome.
Yeah, it's in previews.
Have you ever met Steve Martin? He's like my hero.
Yeah, he has.
He's a friend.
Oh, he's like LA Story is my favorite movie of all time.
Me too. I just watched it. I'm having lunch with Steve the day before, day of the show, and then he's invited us to see the show, yeah.
Well, he is just wonderful. And not that it matters what I think, but he is wonderful.
Oh, he's a god.
So
he's amazing. Yes. I don't understand how anybody could be so talented in so many ways.
You couldn't, because Howard Stern, who also believes Steve Martin is a god and a mentor and an amazing, finally got him to do an interview because he wanted to promote he said, I can't ask you to do this. I can't ask. If you want to do it, you can come on and do it anytime. And finally he did come on and it was great. It's just wonderful.
For his new banjo musical?
Steve is very humble, unassuming, and does not seek the spotlight. And so I'm always very careful. We interviewed him on Triangulation. We did do an interview with him, but I'm very careful not to push. You know how I met him? He DM'd me on Twitter, said, I like your radio show. No need to respond.
Like, I'm sorry.
What? No need to. Yeah. I'm not going to respond to that. I'm sorry. That was about, that must be 6 years. We were still in the cottage. It was 6 or 7 years ago.
And then you gave him advice, right?
We helped. So I hooked him up with Gina Trapani because he was writing a book of tweets, and he needed to have not only all of his tweets but all the replies. And I said, I know just the person. So I hooked him up with Gina, and she got him a ThinkUp account, and he used that to write the book. And we've stayed in touch. And every once in a while, I went down to see Bright Star when it was in previews, his play, his musical, with Edie Brickell.
And, which is awesome.
Yeah.
He
said, we'll have dinner. He said, I hope you don't mind, but Paul Simon wants to come too. And I said, oh, God, again? So I had dinner with Edie, Paul, and Steve, and Lisa and I.
Wow.
And of course, Steve's wife, Ann. It was a lot of fun. It was really great. And so,
Paul Simon made a historic difference this week.
No kidding.
Because he was late coming on stage. That's what gave Sarah Silverman the opportunity to tell the Bernie Bros.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
Without that, if he'd been on time, she wouldn't have ad-libbed.
Didn't you expect Artie to show up in there?
Yeah, I did.
He's singing Bridge Over Troubled Water, and I'm thinking, if you want to show unity, Artie
should show
up.
It's easier to bring the Democrats together than the two of them together, I suspect.
I think you're right. Anyway, so... thank you very much, all of you. I'm sorry I had to do that name drop at the end, but that's why I won't be here next week, but I will see you. He also has a Tesla. I will see you.
You can drag.
He's in the family. Yep.
So when I was down in Florida moving my parents into the old folks' home, we'd try to go buy my mother I know we're dragging on the show here. But
no, I don't mind.
We tried to buy my mother a wheelchair, which she didn't want, which is a whole other story.
Yeah.
Then I see there's a flyer there. They really do have... elderly scooter races.
Oh, jeez.
Seinfeld. It's Seinfeld come to life.
Just like the Rascal scooter race in Seinfeld. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah,
the
right.
Chase, the famous Rascal chase. Hey, you know what? I can't wait to be in the Rascal races. I am ready.
Yeah.
Thank you, everybody. We'll see you next time. On Twig. Bye.